from Illinois Public Media. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. It's Friday. Welcome. And we're going to get things started, as ever, with our reporter roundtable, where we talk about what's making news across Illinois. Today, Champaign, Urbana, and the Galesburg-Macomb areas in the western part of the state. Joining us now to talk through things here in Champaign, Urbana is May Antar, reporter for Illinois Public Media, our home station. May, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, in order to make our schedules work, we taped this portion of the roundtable yesterday on Thursday, so we are not taking your calls live at the moment, but we will begin doing so in about 8 minutes or so from now. All right, so May, let's dive right in. And I want to start actually not in Champaign-Urbana, but halfway around the world, in Morocco and Libya, and the natural disasters that have happened there. Between those countries, at least 7,000 people were killed. There's a local mosque in Urbana that's trying to raise money to help those who were affected. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so the local mosque here, Simic, they are gathering funds at their Friday prayers, or anytime you can just walk into the mosque and come in, and there are boxes that are designated for these disasters, or even online. You can go onto their website and pull down one of those tabs and it says donate, and you can pick what you want to donate to. So they're just really trying to gather as much as they can. I think when I spoke to them last, they had at least 1,200 in cash, but not online. They didn't have the online numbers yet, and they're waiting to figure out what those numbers are until they're done collecting money. But they're going to keep collecting money for maybe up until next week, they said, for a couple weeks. So they're just trying to get as much as they can. They know that they're not going to be able to do a lot, but they're doing what they can. They have somebody on the ground in Morocco who was actually, he attended the university here, and now he works with the charity that they might be sending a lot of their money to, called Fasila Charity. So he was on the ground and he was kind of giving them the rundown of what they need, what's going on, how bad things are.
That's interesting. And we've talked on the show in the past about zakat and how important charity is in the Muslim faith. Is this only for people who are a member of this mosque, or, I mean, even somebody who might not be a Muslim, can they contribute as well?
You know, I didn't actually ask that question, okay. But I am 100% sure that anybody can donate. It's not really about who you are and what religion you follow. I think they're just trying to just get as much help as they can, and they happen to have a connection and know people on the ground there, and I think they just want to help as much as they possibly can.
Yeah, and what a tragedy that was. All right, moving on. There's let's go now a little bit north of Champaign-Urbana to Rantoul, where a nonprofit held a yard sale, but it actually gave everything they had away for free. What's the story there?
Yeah, so this nonprofit, the local chapter of this nonprofit, it's called Bright Point, and they are a home visit and doula program where they really aim to serve low-income and marginalized groups.
Doulas, for those who may not be familiar, that's somebody who helps women with childbirth and other, I guess, other aspects of their maternal being, I guess, right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So they're trying to find ways to better serve the communities that they already do serve. So they're a part of, they serve Rantoul, they serve Champaign, and they realized that there was something that they needed to do a little bit more in Rantoul. They noticed that there were a lot of low income individuals in Rantoul and Mexican immigrants. And so they said, you know, we know that there's a need here and we have donations. We have all these things at our disposal. Let's give them away to the people who really need them. So that's what they were able to do. They gave away things like baby clothes, baby food, adult clothes, home decor, even a printer.
Imagine they had a lot of takers.
They did. Yeah. By the time I got there, which was on time, which is when they started at 3, they had people coming in at 2:15 because they heard about it. And there was about like 50 people who showed up before it even started. So, yeah.
Wow. Really speaks to the need, I guess. Interesting. Let's turn now to another story, and this is actually a national story that has some local implications, at least as you reported it. And this is the writer's strike in Hollywood. It seems to be coming to an end. I know there's still some formalities and ratifying the deal and that sort of thing, but its effects are going to be felt for quite some time. You talk with a professor at the University of Illinois who says there were effects of the writer's strike even around here. How so?
Yeah, so I talked to him on Labor Day because the WGA sent out a message on YouTube talking about what this means and why they're doing what they do on Labor Day, and kind of just connecting it to the roots of the holiday. And so I talked to this professor, and I was curious to know what does this mean for people here? Is it just Hollywood? It feels so far removed. And he was saying that there are a lot of implications for people, writers everywhere, and not even writers. He was saying for him as a professor, it has implications for him and whatever he writes and what he chooses to teach and what he wants to put across. Because it has a lot to do, I think the deal now, it's about AI. So he mentioned a lot about how this can impact the autonomy that writers have, and it could easily impact people that are salespeople, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry to interrupt you. That's a really interesting point. I've heard some discussion of this, and one commentator was saying that's a service, you know, whatever the writers do for themselves in terms of their income, and you know, having to had to go with 6 months without any income is a real hardship for a lot of people, but they've sort of brought a lot of attention to this idea that artificial intelligence, it seems like this magical creation, but it is really ingesting the work of so many other writers who've come before. And who is going to be responsible for compensating them for the writing that gets fed into AI to make it smart? That's what this professor was referring to?
Yeah, pretty much. Because he doesn't want that kind of technology taking over his role and the control that he has and what he chooses to write. And that's a lot what the writer's strike is about. The writers want to be able to write what they want to write and not have something else take over their job and kind of drain it or make it less their own, you know? So yeah. I think that's a lot of what that means.
Fascinating. All right, we're almost to the end of our time together, and we're going to end with another University of Illinois-related story. And this is, anyone who's been on campus midday knows about the Altguild chimes. You can hear them certainly on the quad and in many areas around there. They are still, you can still hear them. Students can still hear the chimes, but they're not actually ringing. What's happening there?
Yeah, so the Altguild Hall is under restoration, and it's going to be going on for a couple of years. And so before they had to completely stop, students and the chimes master decided to, you know, go ahead and play these chimes. They did multiple kinds of chimes, one being Indonesian kind of music. And they just recorded these so that they could have them at their disposal, so that they themselves could listen to it, but then also they would put it online so that people online could go ahead and take a listen to these chimes that have been a pretty historic part of the university.
I had some horrible experiences with calculus in Altguild Hall, but that's a story for another day. May Antar is a reporter with Illinois Public Media. Thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
And again, this is the 21st Show. We are back live now, and we are going to be talking about the looming potential government shutdown in just a few minutes for reasons I'm not going to bore you with. That sort of major news is coming in the middle segment of our program today. But for now, we are shifting gears, sticking with our local reporters roundtable. And now we're going to hear what's making headlines in Western Illinois, particularly Macomb and Galesburg. And we are joined now by Rich Egger, news director at WIUM, Tri-States Public Radio. Rich, welcome back. Good to talk with you again.
Hello, Brian. How are you doing today?
I am doing pretty well, Rich. Thank you. So let's stick with the topic of higher education for now. Can you give us an update on what's been happening at Western Illinois University? And maybe we can begin with enrollment.
Yeah, enrollment is down a bit this fall. It's nearly 7,100 students. The exact number is 7,073. That's a drop of 570 from last fall. In announcing the enrollment figure, the administration focused on the quality of incoming students. The average grade point average of new freshmen is up slightly from last year, and the university added nearly 140 freshmen and transfers into its honors college. And so that was something the Board of Trustees talked about at their most recent meeting in June, is that we don't want to be admitting just anyone to Western Illinois University. We want high quality students here, is what the board is saying. And they want to focus on trying to, increase the grade point average of incoming freshmen. So it looks like they accomplished that, but in the process, enrollment has tumbled a bit.
You know, this is something that it was a story. I know a lot of the directional universities, right, Western, Eastern, Southern, were hard hit by the budget impasse. I guess it's coming up on 7-8 years ago now. But this has been part of a longer, broader story at Western, right?
Yeah, enrollment has been dropping gradually for much of this century, really. Like you said, it was the budget impasse that really hit Western hard, and that's where we saw enrollment really start to tumble rather than being just a gradual decrease over time. Part of this is because there are fewer students graduating from high schools in Illinois. The graduating classes are smaller. And I believe because Western is a regional school, they try and draw a lot of students from this region. Well, we are seeing towns in this region, their populations are dropping for a variety of reasons we can touch on if you want. But so there are fewer students from right around here to draw into Western, on top of having just that overall number falling also, Brian.
That's a good point. And maybe we'll save the other conversation for another day. Other thing I did want to ask about is a new contract for faculty at Western. We have seen some labor unrest at different Illinois universities in the past year or so. What's happening there?
Yeah, your faculty rallied once or twice toward the end of the spring semester at Western. Talks continued through the course of the summer, and they announced a contract agreement with the administration, and faculty actually ratified the contract. About 98% of those who cast a ballot supported the contract. It's a 3-year contract. It gives pay raises to faculty. Specifics have not been released yet. The faculty leadership wanted to wait until the Western's Board of Trustees had a chance to approve the contract before talking about it in greater detail. We were expecting that vote to come yesterday, but the Board of Trustees postponed their meeting for a couple weeks to give the administration a little more time to work on financial issues, to work on the budget that they'll be proposing to the Board of Trustees. So we'll have to wait another couple weeks, I guess, to get more details about the contract agreement. I can tell you that the union says the agreement includes measures to help increase student retention. So that's part of getting back to the enrollment issue, is you don't want to just bring in students, but you want to retain them. You want them going through the system for 4 years. And that's been part of the issue with enrollment decline too. And so they're creating a professional mentoring program led by faculty, and they're creating a summer bridge program to provide extra assistance for students who need it.
All right, let's leave Macomb and head over to Galesburg, where your colleague Jane Carlson had a story about City Hall, and the topic of public comment sparked a lot of public comment, is one of the things she said. And those of us who are reporters who've had to sit through municipal or county government meetings know the joy and weirdness and sometimes insufferability of the public comment period. But what is the case there?
Well, the case there is that the city council approved changes to public comment in June, and that was just about a month after the new council was seated. New council members were elected in April. They took their seats in May, and then in June they made some changes. Those included limiting comments to 3 minutes per person and moving public comments to the beginning of the meeting, right after roll call, before any action is taken by the council. You know, the idea being that people might want to comment on items on the agenda and they want to give their input before the city council votes on those items. Now, one of the council members is proposing to move public comments further back on the agenda after miscellaneous business. And the proposal here is because a lot of people bring, you know, you have businesses in town, for example, that might have an item on the agenda. And instead of making them wait through what can sometimes be a lengthy public comment session, taking care of that business first and then getting to the public comments afterwards. And they've held a first reading on that, and I'm not sure whether they've held the second reading on that, but that's what's going on. And you know, a bunch of people commented on those public comment proposed changes, and not everyone is in favor of that. They like the idea of being able to comment on stuff before the city council takes a vote on it.
Yeah, I guess as long as they're limited to 3 minutes, you won't get the too much discussion of the fluoride in the water and the sort of more, well, you know what? I'm just going to leave it there. Rich Egger is news director at WIUM Tri-States Public Radio. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
Glad to join you. Good talking to you, Brian.
You too, Rich. More to come here on the 21st show in just a moment. We are going to be tackling the looming possibility, perhaps likelihood, of a federal government shutdown. That's coming up after a short break. This is the 21st show. Stay with us.